but Christianity properly lived is a joyful way of life. And baptism opens the door for us, for that life in Christ, that life in Him. We are sealed by the gift of the Holy Spirit and nourished continually by the living body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. We become what we eat along the journey of life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So our life in Christ is a journey along the way, a journey with Jesus. And we have individual pilgrimages and then collective pilgrimages with Him. We should begin to look and act and speak like Him. So close and transparent is He to us if we allow that joy of being our true friend. My heavens. There's space here as we just started. Ryan, thank you. Andy Cooks, you. This is like church, you know, so I'll start all over again. So I was giving basically the title of the series of Life in Christ. What does it mean to live in Christ? How is living in Christ a joyful way of living, different than one sometimes would think? That joy, why? Because Jesus is our friend. After that introduction, I would like to begin these 8 monthly reflections entitled Life in Christ today with a meditation entitled Friendship with Jesus and with Each Other. So return to me, if you will, to the upper room, the cenacle. It is there that Jesus opened His heart and spoke about friendship, friendship with Him. He told His gathered disciples on the night before He died, just a few hours from what would have been a very brutal experience, you are my friends. I no longer call you slaves. I've called you friends because I've told you everything I've heard from my Father. John 15:14-15. And He sets forth the test of friendship. No one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. John 15:13. The Second Vatican Council teaches that by this revelation, the invisible God, from the fullness of His love, addresses us as His friends, moves among us in order to invite and receive us into His company, into His friendship. So that night, Jesus said to His disciples, I call you friends. That's where the first of the series that takes place or starts from that point of Jesus. In the opening homily of His pontificate, Emeritus Pope Benedict spoke beautifully about this friendship with Jesus. He said, if we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing, absolutely nothing of what makes life free, beautiful, and great. No, only in this friendship are the doors opened widely. Only in this friendship is the great potential of human existence truly revealed. He goes on to say, only in this friendship do we experience beauty and liberation by opening our own hearts to Jesus. Jesus desires to be our friends. But what does that mean? What does friendship mean to us in our very busy, digital, and hectic world? Are deep and lasting friendships even possible today? Some would say that friendship is a lost art, or merely reduced to a word used on Facebook. Is it possible to be friends with a God we do not see if we are increasingly unable or find it difficult to be friends with persons that we do see? That's the question of this reflection. On the other hand, and importantly, the way we think about human friendships can and should assist us in our efforts at a friendship relationship with God. As we recoup an understanding of true human friendships, it should be easier for us to approach friendship with God, our God, who calls us and claims and names us His friends. In His opening remarks this summer over in Krakow to World Youth Day on July 28, Pope Francis himself spoke of friendship. He said, to say that Jesus is alive means to rekindle our enthusiasm in following Him, to renew our passionate desire to be His disciples, Then he went on and said, what better opportunity to renew our friendship with Jesus than by building friendships among yourselves? What better way to build our friendship with Jesus than by sharing him with others? As early as Aristotle, he sets forth three types of friendships. I'm sure you can relate to these three types. First is friendships of utility, fair weather friends. You know what that means. Second, friendships of pleasure, emphasis on getting what I'm getting out from this relationship. And through, he talks about true friendships, truly a desire for the other's good. The latter, true friendship, is a clear preference. In my book on the commandments we keep, I mentioned that I had spoken to a group of young people who were thinking about becoming Catholic a few years ago on the values and qualities they see in true friendship. And I wrote, they responded by highlighting the importance of loyalty among friends, openness, honesty, the exchange of advice, attempts at genuine mutual understanding. They also mentioned the sharing of activities and even hardships with each other and being proactive with each other. Calling somebody and saying, can we have a coffee? Can we go and have lunch together? Being proactive. Underlying these qualities, it would seem that a person-to-person relationship would be an essential quality to fostering and sustaining genuine human friendships. It takes a conscious effort, it's intentional, to sustain and develop friendships. In his wonderful book, The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything of Spirituality for Real Life, Jesuit Father James Martin devotes an entire chapter on friendship with God. I'm not citing him, but I'm going to cite the Jesuit that he did cite, Father William Barry, who concludes, the way you think about friendships can help you think about and deepen your relationship with God. If Jesus wishes to be our friend, and he told us he did at the Last Supper, then at least by analogy, it would behoove us to reflect on the model human friendships we have had or continue to have. It might give us some insight into friendship with God and how that friendship, for sure a developing relationship, can be defined and experienced. My mom told me once, and I believe now correctly, that if I had one genuine and faithful friend, I should consider myself a lucky person. Proverbs teaches some friends bring ruin on us, but a true friend is more loyal than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. It would seem then that true friends are hard to come by. I'm not speaking of acquaintances either. Those are the stuff of Rolodexes, a distinctly Washington phenomenon. Genuine friendships are different. I cannot tell you how many spouses have referred to their respective spouse as my best friend. That's a good place to begin. St. Thomas Aquinas has written that through conjugal love, the love between a husband and a wife, they participate in the greatest form of friendship, Thomas Aquinas. Pope Francis writes, speaking of married love, that is a union possessing all the traits of a good friendship, concern for the good of the other, reciprocity, intimacy, warmth, stability, and the resemblance born of a shared life. Amoris Laetitia 1:23. Friendship does not necessarily disappear as couples grow older. As they know each other so well, every aspect of each other, they seem to be increasingly inseparable. I see this in the parish all the time. I have these two people walking with canes. They go for a walk in the morning together. They've been married for 60 years. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's the ultimate support. Or George and your wife, in these days, celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. We renew their vows and say, that's a beautiful thing. We just see someone who has sustained for that many years, and many of you also. They enjoy simply being together. And that's not only a quality of older couples. I've observed that younger couples also enjoy spending time together. To ensure that time happens, date nights are reserved on their iPhones. One younger couple recently told me that they both very much enjoy simply sitting in front of the fireplace and relaxing with each other. A genuine friendship requires keeping in touch with each other. It requires, and this is often tested, being present in time of need or in times of joy and truly caring for another. It's expressed by unconditional love. After a period of time apart, it means picking up where one left off and not missing a beat. You can remember you have friends or people, the acquaintances you had in law school or business school or wherever you were, and you haven't talked for a number of years, and the phone rings and you pick up as if you saw each other just yesterday. Not missing a beat. Friendship is another word for companionship. A one-on-one relationship between two people is marked by mutual honesty and openness without any fear of reprisals. Friendship requires the ability to listen to each other, even when one might not be interested in a particular topic or issue. You ever had that experience? It's not overly competitive or based on primarily utilitarian interests. True friendship is an encounter with each other, wherever one might be. Friendship is tested over time. One has a feel that a certain relationship is truly one of friendship and should be developed over time. Blessed Alred, Cistercian abbot of the 12th century, wrote, "Truly perfect, stable, and lasting friendship." He writes that it is a tie that envy cannot spoil, nor ambition destroy. Such a friendship, so tempted, yielded not an inch, was buffeted, but did not collapse. 12th century. There is, moreover, I would say, a healing power to genuine friendship. Did you see that movie, The King's Speech? Anyone see that movie? That was one of my favorite movies. The king's therapist, who was a commoner, who became his friend, asked him, "What are friends for?" His response, "I wouldn't know." The healing of his stammer was as much about the skills of the therapist as it was about the healing effect of perhaps his first and only friendship, a commoner who helped him to speak without any impairment. In his encyclical letter, Deus Caritas, as God is love, Emeritus Pope Benedict writes, this is one of the great lines of the pontificate, "Being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, with a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction." Being a Christian is about the encounter with Jesus Christ, the event of Jesus. And that encounter is Jesus. And that is our basis of friendship with him as a follower of Jesus, a personal relationship and an encounter. Many of the qualities I've just spoken about in terms of human friendship apply, at least by analogy, to an encounter with Jesus and the embracing of him as a friend, the best of friends. We encounter God in two primary ways, prayer and the sacraments. For sure, we encounter it as well in each other, in the love that is his life within us. St. Paul, "No longer I, but Christ who lives within me." Christ lives within each of us. In the biblical account of the Transfiguration, we hear the words of God the Father to his Son, "This is my Son, my beloved. Listen to him." These are words of instruction. They are invitations to prayer. Stated simply, prayer is the art of listening to Jesus, listening to the Word of God. It's an essential part of our friendship with him. As friendship is in no small way, we know this in our human friendships, the art of listening to another person. And in this case, that person is Jesus. It is communication with him, and it is dialogic. About the encounter of prayer, the great Swiss theologian, Father Hans Urs von Balthasar, I love to be called von Balthasar, Hans Urs von Bagi. He once wrote, "The vital thing is the living encounter with the God who speaks to us in his word, whose eyes pierce and purify us like a flame of fire, whose command summons us to new obedience, who each day instructs us as if until now we had learned nothing, whose power sends us out anew into the world upon mission." prayer being an encounter, a listening encounter with the Lord. In his book, Belonging to God, Monsignor Charles Murphy, who was my old rector in the Northrop College in Rome, citing St. Teresa of Avila, writes, and I quote, "Prayer could be something else, something she called orations mentale, which is, in her words, nothing else than a close sharing between friends. It means taking the time frequently to be alone with him who we know loves us. He might touch our hearts, that we might seek his friendship more and more." My prayer time is usually at 6 o'clock in the morning. Some of you are already billing hours, I'm sure, at that hour. But if I don't get my prayer time in, which is usually half hour, and then I write down what I hear Jesus telling me, my day is very different. My day is very different. It's just like going to a gas station. It's a crude analogy, being filled up with gas. And it's not until you drive the car that you realize what you got has been helpful. So somehow during the day, the results of that time, that quiet time, do take place. In a word, prayer is the experience of meeting God, a lived and living relationship with God. It's not simply talking with God. For heaven's sakes, he knows everything on our mind, in our heart, everything we need to have. He knows our thoughts. It's listening for God that requires silence, a nearly forgotten dimension of contemporary American life. Sometimes we await the answer, our desired answer, and seemingly never receive it. Other times we receive it in a different way and come to see his wisdom and not our own. And patience is a quality of every friendship and not only on our own terms. Friendship with God is also walking with him, being in his presence, shutting everything else out, wasting time with God, not unlike wasting time and just being with someone you love. Prayer is kissing God, touching God, a touching of spirits, a conscious awareness of his presence, an intimacy with him, a friendship, a daily appointment. San Jose Maria Escriva once wrote that the first appointment every day should be with Jesus Christ. And that appointment is a prayerful encounter with him. So that would be one area in which we begin to develop friendship with Jesus. It would be through our prayer. And it's a work in progress for all of us. Interesting, last Sunday, and I was thinking about this Sunday's homily, is also about prayer. We're now doing the Gospel of St. Luke, and Luke is called the Gospel of Prayer. Prayer is probably mentioned more in Luke's Gospel than any of the other Gospels. That's his emphasis. But we had last Sunday, and we'll have again this Sunday. In addition to prayer, as Catholics, we uniquely encounter Jesus in the sacraments. And that's what distinctly defines us as Catholics. Another way of deepening and experiencing our friendship with God. So it's prayer and sacraments, and of course works of charity as well. And sacraments define us as Catholics. They are moreover transforming encounters. They are encounters with a true friend, and Jesus calls us his friends. We come to see Jesus as a healing friend in the sacrament of reconciliation and penance and the anointing of the sick. As I just anointed someone the other morning, very early in the morning, of course I had to go off for some tests. We all wait for these crazy tests, right? And he came back afterwards and he said, it not only healed me, but it went much better than I had thought. And I'm not saying that was the reason of the anointing, but certainly he felt very, very good about this. Because he wanted to be anointed early in the morning before he went to Sibley. Anointing of the sick. It's a sacrament that we really need to encourage our friends to receive, not only when you have on the door of death, which used to be the way you would think about it, but when you're sick or when you have a serious operation. It's one way we get a certain... I had cancer in the last years, and every time I went in, I was anointed. And it was very reassuring. It's a very beautiful healing sacrament, but needs to be really explained better. So healing in the sacrament of penance and the nourishing of the sick is one who nourishes us in the Eucharist, is one who binds us to himself in baptism and sends his spirit upon us in confirmation, that we come to know him in spirit and truth, as the one who makes it possible for others to stand in for him in persona Christi, priesthood, holy orders. His church has two spouses, doing holy matrimony. As I write in my book on the sacraments we celebrate, each sacramental encounter brings us in touch with the living and risen Jesus Christ, an encounter which changes and transforms us, that gives us grace. Grace, the presence of God, the living presence. Could there be any better type of one-on-one friendship than this? So to think of the sacramental life and agenda in our church as really means of a friendship. Our age is marked and effectively transformed by another kind of friendship, that is social networking. Sorry, Maya. The advent of the digital age. Many of you heard because of it, so it can't be too negative. We've not yet been able to text God or have him as our friend on Facebook. But as helpful as this new technology is in bringing people together, as it's done today, I sometimes think that notwithstanding the ease in communicating with one another, we seem to be getting more and more distant from each other. I was with a Jesuit priest yesterday, my confessor, and he's a member of a Jesuit community. I said, do you all have these little iPhones on when you're having a community meal? And he says, we have a rule among ourselves that we do not. That was very interesting. I'm not a Luddite. I'm learning about Twitter and Facebook and Blackberries and Blueberries. In fact, I've written 6 books with the help of my computer. If truth be told, I communicate daily and hopefully effectively on the computer. Sometimes I worry, as I'm sure you do, that it can become addictive and absorbing. For sure, for each one of us, there needs to be a word of caution here. Social networking cannot replace one-on-one relationships that is the traditional mark of unique and genuine friendships with each other and with God. Emeritus Pope Benedict wrote this as a very beautiful quote at his 45th World Communications Day message, speaking of the extraordinary potential of the internet and other means of social technology. He sets forth some of the risks, and he says, in the search for sharing, for friends, there is the challenge to be authentic and faithful, and not give in to the illusion of constructing an artificial public profile for oneself. Yes, it's important always to remember that virtual contact cannot and must not take the place of direct human contact with people at every level of our lives. It's so easy to hide behind the email instead of listening to some person, or increasingly depersonalizes our relationship through the use of such technology. We have seemingly come a long way from having our dog as our best friend. Well, it was interesting, the other day there was a person who needed to be anointed. And I went there and the dog, this person's dog, was lying on the floor right next to the man who was ill. I thought to myself, that's a true friend, huh? I was touched by that. It's now so often the iPhone or whatever new means of social communication is being sold. Unlike the dog, it doesn't have to be walked. These are just caveats. True friendship is not simply a technological connection. It's an encounter with each other. And above all, an encounter, an encuentro, encuentres, Spanish, right? With God. That's what true friendship is. The deeper our continual encounter with God, the more fruitful will be our friendship encounters with each other. They're related. There is no replacement or improving for that kind of friendship with God and each other. I conclude with the words of Pope Francis, who writes, I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus, or at least an openness to letting him encounter them. I ask all of you to do this unfailingly each day. No one should think that this invitation, the Pope says, is not meant for him or her, for no one is excluded from the joy brought by the Lord. Amen.